have a long-term friend, really, to us personally, a family friend to us personally, as Pastor Andrew and I really value Pastor Dave and his wife, Marion. We've known them for years, and they're one of our best friends in the ministry. But also, as a church, we've always loved having Pastor Dave. I know, haven't we? Well, for what we're about to receive, we are truly thankful.
Cheers. Hallelujah. God is good. Thanks, guys. God is good. Glory to him. Amen. Thank you. And a massive thank you to Pastor Judith and Pastor Andrew as well. They know how grateful I am in my heart for them. And so many of you that I know as well, or some of you anyway. I was watching all the kids go out. There's loads of them. You've all been busy. Too many evenings off, eh? Call to multiply and all that stuff. Anyway, let's praise the Lord. Amen. We'll see the church grow one way or another, won't we? We have a determined spirit. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I know that apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. And Lord, I know today is going to be great because you, and already is great, because you are the hope of glory in our hearts. You're the one that takes rubbish in our lives, gets rid of it, and makes us strong in you. Because when we are weak, your strength shines through. And that's why I'm confident today's going to be amazing, because I know apart from you, nothing will happen and I can do nothing. So Lord, thank you. All the joy we share, all the friendship we share, all the value we share is because one person went to the cross and his name is Jesus. And all this life we share and enjoy, and all this building one another up and encouraging one another can only happen. It's important it happens, but can only happen because you are so amazing. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, really, guys, I'm just going to flow on this morning. Pastor Judith has already shared the scripture that I've kind of been living in the last few things. We're just flowing in the same spirit. So really, I'm just continuing on what God's doing this morning. And just some stuff that God's been working through in my own life that... And you've already done it this morning in a way where we're going this morning. But I just want to, I believe God will just bring a little bit of clarity into what he's been doing. So we've got some understanding. So when we go from here today, we can live in the good of what we've just experienced. Now, what we've just experienced is casting our cares onto him. We've just experienced that. We've just done that. So basically, I should be in a totally carefree church. But sometimes, and you all look incredibly carefree, but sometimes we need to understand what's behind that to live in it. Because on Monday morning, when we're not in a meeting, we need to live in the good of what we've just done. So I think that's my usefulness this morning. I'm not teaching you the need to live in that freedom, because you already... are, but maintaining and remaining in that freedom takes us to do a little bit of thinking and some revelation from God, so we can live in that and live in God's plan and purposes. And when we were worshiping, by the way, again, I always want to thank the worship team. I'm a worshiper, and in my own church, I'm always concentrating on the sound or whether this is working or that. I worship all the time at home. I'm a worshipper. I love Jesus. But when I'm doing a meeting, I'm having to concentrate on things. But here I don't have to concentrate. I can just let rip. So thank you guys for all your time and what you guys put in. Glory to God. And your heart is reflected in what you do. And every one of you who you've not even seen what you did. Someone cleaned the carpet. Thank you. Someone cleaned the toilets, haven't been yet, but I'm sure I will later, thank you. But each of you is valuable to God and important in his service. And when we realize we can't do anything apart from God, it helps us appreciate what we see happen, because we know that every single life, making every single contribution, is of value to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, when we were worshipping, I just had a picture, because the difficulty in coming here is it's such a great place. And I saw this beautiful, massive liner, ocean liner. I don't know if any of you are into your cruises, but this beautiful liner going along. The captain of the ship, we know, is Jesus, really, but it can be Pastor Judith for a minute and Pastor Andrea. It's going along fine, and it's doing good, and it's doing great, and it's all set up and running properly. And I thought, Lord, what have I got to contribute to this? Shall I be a pirate? What shall I do? Shall I come up in my little... What shall I do? But God gave me a picture of me being on a lifeboat that's been lowered over the side. And what I'm going to do this morning is just come out on that little lifeboat and gather something in for all of you who are supposed to be on it, but sometimes feel like jumping overboard. Is that all right? Because we all do, don't we? However good the church is. I know I am overboard. But I just want to encourage you and bring you through what the Lord speaks for us today, to make sure that you're not being conned by the enemy and you can remain in the joy of being on the cruise liner. So I'm not trying to be the cruise liner. I'm not trying to be the captain. I haven't got it all together. I don't have to, because of what God's doing amongst you. But I can get on a lifeboat and yell some truth to you, because the picture I had was some people drowning down in the water. And they know how to go, worthy is your name. And you're choking. Is this all right this morning? Or are you too holy for this? You know you should be singing, worthy is your name. But in the back of your mind, you think, I'm going to drown any minute, so it better be good, Jesus. I could do with some walking on the water right now. Is that all right for some of you? I'm going to say, for the rest of you that are more spiritual than that, just have a good morning and go home happy. But some of you need the rescue boat to come out. Some of you will pull people off the rescue boat when they come out. And some of you will just help people get back into the flow of the cruise liner. Take them to the bar, for goodness sake, afterwards, and give them a good Sunday lunch. But for some of you, and in our lives, in our faith and in our going for it in God, in our perseverance and in our proclamation of faith, there's a cost and a sacrifice, because inside we can feel like we're drowning because we don't understand certain things God wants us to live in. We know the principle of them. We move in the principle of them and express them, but we need the understanding to maintain them. And that scripture, Pastor Judith already alluded to, something from 1 Peter 5 in the Amplified Classic version. I like that they keep messing these versions up, but the Amplified Classic's all right, I've decided. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. And if I'm not careful in my Christian life, my faith can become a function. My proclamation of Jesus can become a declaration absent of care.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be strong in God. Yes, I am. I'm anointed. Yes, I am. But that anointing is in a vessel that God has redeemed, and someone who is precious and honored in his sight. So if I'm not careful, adding on to my list of inadequacies, I will become a failure in my estimation of how I am performing my faith walk, because even that's not good enough. Well, if I was Pastor Judith or Pastor Andrew, that would be all right. They're always full of faith. But I'm just me. No. I want to get you out of the water this morning and into the rescue boat. I want you to stand up the bridge on the cruise liner so you can see where you're going again. Is all right? Now, this is important, because I'm sharing with you what God has to work into me. I'm a productive person. I don't like sitting still. I have to be careful, because if a job needs doing in the church, I'll do it. I broke my wrist rehanging the cross the other week, a few weeks ago. It's healed now. But I do painting, I do electrics, I'll just do the job. I'll get it done. And contractors frustrate me incredibly. They never turn up on time. They never do what they say they will. And I'm not being funny here, but in most situations, I will do a better job because I care about the place God's given us. But I have to be careful that I'm not so functional and I'm not so busy that I forget I'm in relationship with one who cares for me. This verse says, I am to cast once and for all my worries and concerns, but it's in the context of God cares for me so much, he doesn't want me to be concerned or worried. Even more than that, he hasn't wired me to be concerned or worried. I'll get the job done. This is the church. It's got to look good for Jesus. I've been running cables, running internet systems in our church, painting walls, just getting the job done. And I can be worried that this isn't going to happen or that's not going to happen. I can be worried that I've got to minister on Sunday. I can be worried and take on pressure about my children. I can be worried and concerned about everything because it feels virtuous to worry, because if I'm not worrying, I don't feel responsible. I don't feel responsible for that. In other words, it's irresponsible if I don't worry about this. It's irresponsible if I don't have some sense of my concern. I'm really concerned about this situation. Like Pastor Dave being really concerned is really going to change tiddly squat. My really concerned won't change anything. My worry, all it will do is damage my health and keep Jesus off the scene. And that's why the Lord clearly says to us as a people, you are to cast, and in this list of things, it says you're to cast the whole of your care. It doesn't leave room to keep any of it. There's nothing left in the box for me to keep hold of when I've cast all of my care and anxieties, all of my worries. I mean, most of what you worry about will never happen. And what you do worry about will turn out okay anyway. It's like our worry will do something to change it. Worried about Brexit? I'm not. Worried about global warming? I'm not. About time we had some decent weather. I recycle, don't worry. I watch my carbon footprint. I get it. I care about being responsible, but I'm not worried. Because the Bible says, it says here in 18 Peter verse 92, Jesus' plan was going perfectly until global warming came about. And he said to God, we're stuffed now, aren't we? Didn't see that one coming. Didn't see that one coming. All the plastic in the ocean. Now we should care. We shouldn't have plastic in the ocean. I don't want to be eating plastic when I have my cod. But who by worrying can add a single hour? Oh, no, we need to worry. The economy. Oh, Brexit. We won't have any food left. No bananas. Nothing. Now our borders all close. I'm so worried. I'm going to stockpile. Pastor Judith, I bought a van and I'm stockpiling. Well, it will run out in time. However many barns you got down here in this part of the world, stockpile all you want. What are you going to do, just sit there in the barn on your own? You going to have the church round? Oh no, it'd run out far too soon. I'm so worried. They should have heard the Lord like I did and prepared. They should have. No. Let's find a scripture. Oh yeah, the virgin. Yeah. They're the foolish virgins. I've got my beans. God says, He says, see, at church, I was starting to get down because I was working so hard, and if a contractor didn't turn up, I was just exhausted. I was just tired of trying to hold things together and put things together. I was tired of trying to make out, well, virtuous things. These are all for Jesus because it's his church. Oh, this is for you, Jesus. I can worry about this one. I'll tell the people not to because they're just in normal jobs. I never see it like that. They're in God's calling. But you hear what I'm saying? But now because it's Jesus and it's church and it's that member in the congregation being a pain in the butt again, I can worry. I know none of you. I'm just telling you, Kenilworth, we have a few. You don't have any here. I can worry about that bill because it is my fault I got into debt. Therefore, Lord, I'll worry about that. Or I'll worry about that sickness because it's my wife and I feel I should worry because it shows my concern. And Jesus comes along and he nailed that to the cross. He says, I'm going to put no value or power in worry. Worry belongs to hell, which is why the enemy throws it at you because he knows it will destroy you. It will destroy your spiritual strength, your physical strength, and it can put you in the grave early. Honestly, worry and fear are detrimental even to your health. When we cast our cares onto the Lord, all of them, what Pastor Judith just ministered, has to be maintained. That which is obtained through the blood of Jesus has to be maintained by faith. So when we cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties and all of our worries and concerns once for all on him, we come into a revelation. The reason we can is because he cares for us. Now Ben and Joel, some of you will know from very little, and they're both up there now, but they're my children. When Ben was first born, our first one, I didn't say, well, Ben, welcome to the world. Now we've got the gas bill coming on the 30th of July, my car payment's due the middle of August, and all the rest of it. I just thought I'd let you know. I was guarding him from concern. I was guarding him. I protected him. We guard our children because we care for them. God cares for you far more than we can care because he's perfect. But God's care is perfect. And he says, you are not to try and take care of that which only I can take care of. So would you please, I'm out in the rescue boat this morning. God's saying, I want you to enjoy the cruise liner. I want you to enjoy the bar and the swimming pool and the jacuzzi. I want you to enjoy this walk of faith with me. Will you please not keep hold of that which I have not designed you or equipped you to carry? Please. Would you cast it onto me? Now, my issue is when I cast things onto God is just before I cast it, I tie a bit of rope on it. And I know because I hear how I pray. And if this is my worry, I'm not going to do it. Before I cast it onto the Lord, I tie some rope on it. And I know that I have because what happens is I give it to the Lord and then the next day I have this feeling of worry and concern again. And God says, I reel that thing back to me. But God says to me, Dave, I thought you'd given that to me in the context of Scripture once for all. I thought you'd given me that issue. Oh, I have. Then why are you worried? Oh, I obviously haven't. And this is what I'm learning to live in. Because I carry, like you do in your life, a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of anxiety out there. There's a lot of voices telling us how to live. But there's a voice that's greater than any other voice that carries the life and the power of the Holy Spirit that has the power to set us free, bring us into that lifeboat so we stop swallowing the water and enables us to stand on top deck again. And the reality is, every day, there's normally two or three key things in my life at any one time, and they change in nature as life goes on. But in all of our lives, there's normally two or three key things at any one time that will be of major concern to you. That needs to change this morning, down to zero. Because the devil knows if he can poke you, if he can prod you, it won't matter how many times. Well, I'll be fine with God once I've got through this one. No, you won't. Something else will come along. I'll be fine with God once I've got through this one. No, you won't. Something else will come along because you have a devil against you. I'll be fine with God when I get through this one. No, you will not until you learn to do what the scripture, and I learn to do what the scripture says. You give it to him once. Well, God, this is no longer my problem. Now, what happens with me when that feeling of fear and sick and everything else comes along because it's something too great for me to bear? Now I just say, oh, thanks for reminding me. That's yours, God. What's next? There's no longer any time for me to think about it, to dwell on it. And often, you know, with those things in my life, it may not work out how I thought it was going to, but I can guarantee it will work out how God knew it was going to. If I'm in control of everything, everything has to work out how I want it to work out. But even things in church, even things in my spiritual walk with God, even things in my life may not work out, even according to this thing of my faith, that I've told God what he's going to do in the name of Jesus. No, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So even our faith needs to be in line of the revelation God's given us. Our faith is not dictatorial, coming from our spirit, telling God what we want to happen, is coming into agreement with his word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God, and moving in line with the spirit. And so if he is Lord, I can say, God, this may not be working out how I think. This may not even be working out how I want, but I'm not going to worry about it because I know your plans are perfect. I know you are for me, and I know, and please, please, get your lipstick out when you get home and write it all over the mirror in your bathroom. He cares for me. And if you're a bloke with your lipstick, give it away and repent. Or nick your wives. Hallelujah. Right. Now, I love how he cares for me. Because I'm learning all the time. And the thing is for me, as I've grown over the years, being a man of faith and breakthrough, I can so easily become self-righteous when I become a better Christian. I'm just going to be honest with you because I go home at the end, but God's really been humbling me recently. There was just an area in my life. Doesn't matter what it was. And I really got a breakthrough in God, and God graced me. I'm just totally free from that area for months and just really happy. But I was so pleased with myself. I'm sorry. I was just so pleased. Oh, God. Now I'm more like Jesus. Man of power for the hour. You do that? Not me. You need to meet with God. Just like I have. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm so pleased I'm more like you now. Isn't it great? You and me. And I, to be fair to myself, if I can be after that, I am sensitive to the spirit, and I have alarm bells, and I thought, Lord, there's something here I don't like about how I'm thinking. You know, sometimes we're all just so busy even doing good things in God, we need to be sensitive to that deep care, because otherwise the scripture says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful you don't fall. It's your best day spiritually, you need to be the most careful. Amen. Not your worst day sinfully. Because when you sin, you know you need the grace. You're not going to be proud of sin. Or you're silly if you are. And you'll realize your dependence of God's mercy. It's when you think you're doing so well, you need to be careful not to be proud, not to take any of the glory to yourself. And I was just praying through some of this stuff. And God was speaking to me, and I won't go into this whole side, but it's just again about dependence on Him, trusting Him. Giving Him all the glory is an old phrase I've grown up with, so it doesn't mean much to me. It's just become part of a prayer in many circles. We give You all the glory. And God goes, you're right. You wait till you get home and look good again. I'm telling you, it won't be like that then, will it? And I'm sure Him and Jesus have a right laugh sometimes, because we use the language, don't we? Well, all the glory goes to Him. Bring it on. Let's have the applause. They like me, Jesus, don't they? Dave, remember, you're nothing apart from me. Remember who's ministering to the people here. Remember, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the context of this scripture, of knowing God cares for us affectionately and cares about us, what I was about to say was, so often, if you're not careful, you can be so spiritually principled, faith can become a practice and not a relationship. For me. Maybe not for you. Maybe you're just helping me have confession time this morning. Our spiritual righteousness, of which we have none of our own, but Christ our righteousness, the functions of prayer and worship and everything else, if we're not careful, can become declaration without revelation. In other words, we become clinical in our walk with God. And it's something about what we know is who we know. But I love this because this says, and this is easy for me to believe that God loves you. I have no problem believing God loves you. But for me to believe God loves me, because I know me, I struggle more with. Because I know what I'm like. You probably don't. You might know a bit about me. Well, now you do after this morning. Proud preacher. What do you get him here for? But I know my weaknesses, and you know yours. So for me to believe that God cares for more brings about a need for a wonderful revelation of God's care for me. He cares for me so much, He values me so much, that He doesn't even want me to be concerned about anything. And that's what puts compassion in my heart for other people and takes judgment away. Now, I'm not talking about judging others this morning. But what I'm talking about is, if we're forever striving to be right before God, we'll never ever enter into the revelation that we are right before God. Because He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. And He is my redemption. And therefore, there's nothing else I have to prove. There's nothing else I can do. There's nothing else I can do. Well, I've got to get through this time in faith. I won't get through any time. I won't even get through lunchtime. I won't even get through breakfast time in faith, if it's not His grace on my life that enables me to get through in faith. I even need His grace to enable me to live by faith. And He wants to pour that out for you and me and rescue me out of the water of trying to be this good Christian. Because He cares for me. And He says He cares about me. Now, this isn't sentimental, soulish ministry. It's the power of heaven that Jesus died on the cross for you and me to receive. So, it's not emotional, but emotion's okay. Jesus wept. When someone comes up to you, I'm sure it doesn't happen in this church, I'm really struggling. Well, repent! I don't still repent. Well, I really feel sad at the moment. Well, fix your eyes on Jesus. And Jesus had compassion. He had compassion for the crowd. But the compassion had the power of heaven behind it that lifted the people to Jesus. See, sometimes we say, that's just emotional. Fix your eyes on the Lord. How clinical. How awful. Jesus comes in His care and mercy and love and compassion and lifts me to Him so again I can stand in him. It says he cares for me watchfully. And that means with the church at home, I'm now at a place where I say, God, you care more about it than I do. I'll just quickly tell you another little funny one. I was trying so hard for our church to look good and be good. We had a fire a while ago and it's all looking good and all the rest of it. But everything I was doing was just going wrong. And we even we prayed in, this land developer put up new car park posts around our car park. And they looked really nice, but people kept knocking them down. I was just forever, whatever I did, I was never arriving. Tidying up, trying to clear up, trying to get it right. And one day I was walking in the car park. And I said this to God. I said, well, if you don't care, I don't. And God said, good. At last. What makes me think I can hold anything together when the Bible says he sustains all things? Then, Dave, why are you worrying about what I'm not worrying about? Now, I want our building to look nice. But God wants my heart to be at peace more than my building looking nice. God cares for you. He wants you to do all right. But more than you doing all right with the things around you, he wants you to do all right with the heart within you. And so sometimes he has to take us on a journey where, for me now, if something's not right in the building, I'm just like, well, it's not my building. It's yours, Lord. You can sort that out. Now, he'll ask me to do certain jobs and I want to do what he's telling me to do. But I'm not doing them because I'm anxious and worried and I have to get the job done. I'm doing them because he cares for me and he's in control. And every day he renews his mercies. And please do not worry about a thing, because every little thing going to be all right. Come on. It is. Every little thing. Every little thing. Because God cares. You guys are so on it, aren't you? You are. Every single one of you. You're on it this morning. Now the last bit of the sermon. You see, I'm out in my rescue boat this morning. And some of you are out with a drowning thing going on. And I'm rowing my little... No, I'm not rowing anything. I've got a dirty great motor. Yamaha on the back of my... Yeah. I ain't rowing any poxy little thing. I ain't rowing anything. And it's God made for speed on the side. Hallelujah. And I'm coming out to you this morning. Because there's a beautiful liner you need to get back on. Or kind of remember you're on. And I'm coming out. Outboard motor. And I'm just doing a few donuts. Because I'm having so much fun. And Jesus is coming to you this morning. Amen. Got your feet on the seat. Goodness. If you're going to do it, turn the chair around. And I do the same. It's all right. You never know what's going on in here. Donuts? Popcorn? Pastor Judith. And Jesus is saying, I want to lift you out of worry. I want to pull you into the boat. Not because I'm telling you off, not because I'm cross with you, but because I care for you. Not because you're not making it spiritually, but all of his correction is in love and with our best welfare. Now for me, who had a background, correction meant rejection and punishment. So in my Christian life, when God used to correct me, I would take it he was rejecting me, and therefore he became an austere father to me. But when I learned that all of his correction was in love, and because he cares for me deeply, I can now trust him. Is that helpful this morning? Come on. You can get into the boat, because I'm going to shut the engine down just for a minute. I'll tell you, it's even great fun. See, if I was rowing the boat, it would be no fun going back to the liner. You're going to come on a ride with me this morning. We're going to spin back up to the boat. We're going to spin back. We're going to be right at the bar. We're going to get in the jacuzzi. We're just going to have fun this morning. Hallelujah. Because he cares for us. Amen. Now, I'm nearly done. Before verse 7 here is verse 6. All I'm doing this morning is showing you how what you know already works. He says, therefore, humble yourself. Oh, misery. Again, so I've got to do, humble myself. God, I'm so useless. I always get it wrong. You know, Eeyore Christianity. Eeyore Christianity. Church of the Eeyore on the rock. There's lots of that. But this doesn't mean it. God's saying, because I care for you. Listen, Dave. He says, humble yourself. Demote yourself in your own estimation. Like in your thinking, you can suss it. You can get through this time. You can do it. You can somehow make the church work. See, in my Bible, it says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I kind of put a highlight in there. I will build my church, highlight, and I'll help you. And God says, no, I don't want you to help me. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And it will never be, Dave, in the context of you being anxious or worrying. It'll be in the context of you trusting. And now I've learned I even need God's grace to trust him. I'm probably seeing more happen now than all my self-righteous virtue of trying to see some stuff happen. But that's a personal thing. And maybe there's some things in your own life this morning where you need rescuing from the sea because you're drowning in self-effort. But you kind of work it as being okay because it's spiritual. But God says it's not spiritual. And he says, therefore, humble yourself, demote, lower yourself in your own estimation. Realize what you can't do. Realize what you need to depend on him to do. Under the mighty hand of God, that in due time, he may exalt you. In other words, God's saying, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to sort it. It's not your problem. Now, when you line this scripture up, it's not saying just cast it on him and you never have to think about it, because scripture also says the fervent righteous man of a prevailing prayer of a righteous man achieve as much. That's a really bad interpretation, but you know the one I mean. Basically, if you pray a lot will happen. That'll do. Pray a lot will happen. and it says, keep on asking. It says, that's in Peter and James 1a Ladybird book, How to Do Your Bible. But it says, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. But you're not then doing it in the context of being worried. You're not doing it in the context of fear. You're not doing it in the context of pride or of self-effort or of anything. I'm reminding God of his faithfulness, and it's his issue. God, I'm asking you over this again. And then I know then we go into teaching where we go from asking to thanking and all the rest of it, but it's all in the context of care. It's all in the context of love. I might not get the formula right. I know of some formulas for successful prayer, but I can't live by the formula. I have to live by trusting the fact he cares for me. And even if I don't quite get the formula right, somehow he will come in and do it. Somehow, because he sees my heart for him to do it. And so I'm saying, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I've given that to you. I bless you. And that's from a place of care, not a place of struggle. Not to keep asking. I'm asking you again, God, just as worried as I was yesterday, just as anxious as I was yesterday, I come to you just as I am, I come. Billy Graham wrote a book, Just As I Am. So I come just as I am, full of worried and fear and anxiety. You have to answer. Oh, my intercession's going good today. Yay! Anxious fear. Going to the doctor tomorrow, Lord. They've upped my blood pressure tablets. Now I'm worried about that. Oh, God, hear my prayer. Anxiously. And the Bible says there's no blue flashing lights in heaven. God's not moved by fear. God's not moved by that. God's moved by trust and a revelation that he cares for us. So who wants to get in the boat? Brilliant. And I'm telling you, this is because the cruise liner is so good. And this has helped, because I've heard this And the ministry this morning, the Holy Spirit's doing is right in line. All I hope I've done is kind of given you, in the name of Jesus, a manual this morning to be able to stay in that and to help yourself do that every day. And practically, I just say, Lord, when all this horrid stuff comes into my thinking, you know, there's lots of things I have to do when I get up in the morning, but I don't have to do anything for negative thoughts to come or fear to come. I don't even have to start thinking negatively or horribly or under pressure. Those things just come. They're from the enemy. And I'm to take captive every thought and her, oh, thanks for reminding me. Lord, that's all with you. Don't need to worry about that today. Yippity-doo-dah. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder somewhere. I mean, I've got some big budgie or eagle. I don't know what I've got on there, but I'm telling you it's good. I'm telling you it's good. Zippity-doo-dah. We're going to sing that in the end. Zippity. Sandra, you can just bang it out. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. But you've given it to him, therefore it's no longer my concern. Heart of England Revival Church is not my concern. It can't be. Trusting Jesus has to be my concern. My shackles are gone, and spiritual things can become a shackle. I don't know how many pastors burn out from ministry, but it's a lot. Lots of people burn out. Why? Well, I don't know all the reasons, but one of them will be that you take upon yourself something God hasn't designed you to carry. And it's a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson for all of us. And I just hope by sharing my heart this morning that some of you, as we pray, are going to be able to come, have some fun in my speedboat. It's quite big. You'll all fit. If you're good, I'll let you drive it. We're going to zoom up to the liner, but do a few donuts on the way. None of you will get seasick because you're redeemed. There's no seasickness on my boat. Amen. Jesus is going to do a barbecue. That'll be on top deck because that would be a bit awkward, zooming, doing donuts and coals flying everywhere. But in all seriousness, if there is such a thing as seriousness with this, you're going to give it to him once for all time, and walk away free, living in the good of what Pastor Judith and the Holy Spirit through has already ministered. But hopefully this will give you, you know, we'd be here all week if we had to unpack every single thing that happened in a meeting. Single thing. So that's just what I've got from God anyway. So basically the boat, there's a big platform on the boat, which is this bit. And we're going to worship the Lord together. And as you come here, we're then just going to pray and we're going to cast once for all and not take it back, those things onto him. And I love it, not because it's a Christian duty. The reason I'm doing it and have to do it every day is because he cares for me. I am so loved. And even if no one else in the world cares for me, or the world's falling apart around me, I'm happy because I know Jesus cares for me. Now, praise God for other relationships. They're important, but my security and revelation of Jesus' care towards me. Lots of people don't care for you, but Jesus does. So the second revelation I pray you'll get this morning is that he cares for you. He cares for you, I better read what it actually says, affectionately. He cares for you affectionately, not just by word. And my other glasses, because I can only see, when I'm on the cruise liner, I need these. I forget what I was going to say now. I've got to change glasses again. This isn't good. You distract me all the time. Yeah, watchfully. He says, Dave, I'm watching your church. Now, we know it's his church. Don't be funny with me. But, all right, I'm watching my church. All right, give us a break. We know it's his. We're secure. He's watching what that person's doing to you. And he's watching what you're going through. That talks of real care. He's watching and seeing the pain or the joy. He's watching and he says, Dave, I care for you so much. I want to bring that stuff this morning with supernatural grace and power off of you so you can be close with me and walk with me again. Is that right if I pray for people, Pastor Judith? Okay. So we're going to stand and, you know, there's that kind of 1 30-second time lapse so we don't look too spiritual. We stand and then we gradually come out. Just come out, for goodness sake. I want my lunch. Hallelujah. We're going to worship. We don't need to start for fingers here. We are going to go. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. And we're going to cast some stuff onto him this morning. Hallelujah.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.